What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
This is primetime on Football Friday. 1080 The Fan.
We're going to ring that championship bell.
60 minutes. Let's open up the whole can of kick ass and kill them all. Let the paramedics sort them out. Ready? Burn.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Football Friday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Suk.
Excited.
I'm Rob. Big Suk right over there.
Right here.
We've got Will Ortner in here. He is our third producer of the day, believe it or not. Jeff Rust was in earlier. Jordan, a late scratch.
Yep. He had some low back tightness and, you know, hey, can't go.
It happens.
Yeah, happens to the best of us.
Coming up tonight in the club, we're going to party. Joey Harrington, in about 25 minutes, we'll find out if he is a WNBA investor. I think he's trying to hide it. But
well, he was at the, I don't know, the fire or whatever the hell you're calling that thing, the Portland WNBA. He was at the press conference.
Well, it's definitely not the fire.
Well, you know. No.
But, I mean, that's the old team.
Until we have a team, can we just, the team formerly known as the Portland Fire? I don't know.
I want Rain City.
What?
Rain City would be cool. Like, instead of the Rose City, like the Rain City something.
That's a Seattle thing, my man.
That's lame.
Yeah.
Why can't we take it?
Well, it rains more up there, doesn't it?
It rains a lot here, too.
That, and I don't think people in Portland want to be associated with that. Plus, you already have
Do they really use Rain City up there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I thought that was like
Yeah, Sean Kemp was the Rain Man, and yeah, that's more of a, Seattle is more of a rain thing. We choose not to
screw them.
Focus on that. We're more of the roses and the rips.
Yeah. So I like Rosebuds.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a cool name.
The Rose City Rosebuds.
Yeah. All right. Next segment, we're going to talk about the big college football games you need to be aware of tomorrow. It's kind of ramping up in week four.
Yeah, it is.
But right now, the hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com. Number five.
Chargers list quarterback Justin Herbert questionable with that ankle injury. L.A. visiting Pittsburgh.
He'll go.
This weekend.
Plus, they run the ball 90% of the time anyways. Let's have him limping around out there. He'll be fine.
The Niners have listed tight end George Kittle doubtful, meaning he likely will not play against the Rams.
No Debo, no Kittle.
No McCaffrey.
So.
And they're saying two of their top defenders are questionable, Nick Bosa and Charvarius Ward.
Tell you what, time for Brock Purdy to earn his $900,000 salary. Go out and prove it.
Well, the only saving grace is that the Rams are more banged up than that.
Oh, yeah, the Rams have no one. Although I think they got a couple of their tackles back, but yeah, that thing is a walking mash unit. That might be over before, you know, we could be 3 weeks into this and the Rams are already cooked.
Number four.
The closest division race is four games with a little over a week left in the season. Appears those are mostly in hand. Now, the wild card is a different story. In the American League, Baltimore's in good shape, but Kansas City has just a two-game lead on the Twins and Tigers, who are tied for that third spot. And the Mariners are only two back. So the Mariners are chasing the Twins and Tigers.
Wouldn't that be something? After
right now,
all this crap and the Mariners being written off, if they found a way to weasel their way in?
Never know. The Mariners just underway in Texas against Jacob DeGrom and the Rangers. The Twins are in the fourth against the Red Sox, and they are scoreless. And the Tigers are losing to the Orioles tonight, 3-0.
Remember, the Mariners have a big one coming up with the Astros after this, and then they do finish up with the pathetic Oakland A's. So,
in the NL, the Padres, they are the lead wild card. They lead the Mets and D-bags by 2 games. The Braves are 2 back of that. Right now, the Mets are tied with the Phillies in the fourth, 2-2. Braves are losing 3-1 to the Marlins.
And the Mets' schedule is brutal down the stretch, but they got a little something, man. The Mets got some magic.
Joel Embiid gets a 3-year, $193 million max extension with the Philadelphia 76ers. He's already 30 years old, prone to injury, but hey, I'm sure it'll be fine.
What the hell else are you going to do if you're the Sixers? You going to move on from him?
No, you're not.
So his total value now is over $300 million. So it's good to be Embiid.
Owner Josh Harris calls Embiid one of the greatest Sixers of all time. And boy, I had to look up the list of greatest Sixers because I was like, is he?
You got Julius. You got Moses Malone. You got Charles Barkley.
There's three.
Mo Cheeks, maybe. Allen Iverson.
There's 4 or 5. Wilt Chamberlain played there. And then Embiid.
Then Embiid.
So his top 7, is that one of the greatest Sixers of all time?
I mean,
who's the 7th greatest Blazer of all time?
Number 2. 7th greatest Blazer.
And do you call him one number of the greatest?
Two. I'm trying to think of who you would be.
Brandon Roy?
Are we talking LaMarcus about like a Aldridge? Zach Randolph, LaMarcus Aldridge?
Yeah, I want, before the end of this hour, I want the 7th greatest Portland Trailblazer from you guys.
All right.
Definitively.
I think it's going to be LaMarcus.
Because I'm challenging
it's where I'm going,
Josh Harris. All right. Drake May got in late last night, but the Patriots are sticking with Jacoby Brissett as their QB1. Next up for them, a trip to San Francisco. The Seahawks are banged up, heading into a dance with Skylar Thompson in Miami. Looks like running back Kenneth Walker will be out again. Nwosu on the edge, likely out as well. Dolphins will most likely be without running back Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, the NFL and shocking development is just one big mess. We have this every year, and then we're surprised when people get hurt. It's the NFL. This is what happens. That's why it's a war of attrition. The two teams standing at the end are usually the two teams that are the healthiest.
Come too far together. Stop now. Let's do it.
That's it, baby. Shot it from the rooftops.
America's number one fighting force.
Number one.
My number one fan.
Number one.
Number and number one, the second straight week with a top 25 matchup on Friday night. Tonight it's number 24, Illinois visiting number 22, Nebraska. It's the first ranked matchup in that series in 40 years. They're just about to get underway.
I'm excited. I mean, you're a big Matt Rhule guy. I saw this little nugget today. I was listening, and Nebraska lost, was it 5 or 6 one-possession games last year?
Okay.
Right? In those games, would you care to guess
4.
The number of turnovers they had? I think it was 6 one-score games.
Okay, so there's 6 games, number 6, of turnovers?
Number of turnovers.
I bet they had 19.
17. 14 of those came from their quarterback.
Wow.
So it's the idea that if you just didn't have, and we saw, their quarterback play was some of the worst we've ever seen last year. If you just clean that up, that's a 9-10 win team. And now they got the Raiola kid, the freshman, who looks really, really good. I'll keep an eye on Nebraska for being a sleeper team in the Big Ten. Wouldn't it be something if it was like Nebraska and USC? Because no one gave any sort of attention to either one of those squads.
Illinois just scored. They're up 7-0.
Elsewhere in college football tonight, Stanford visiting Syracuse. And right now the Cardinal leading 7-0 at the end of the first quarter.
14 now. They just scored.
No, they called it back. It was a penalty.
Screw you,
some
Stanford.
Offensive linemen's. Crying to his coach.
Fat kid called for holding.
Loves buffets.
Tonight at 7 on the CW, Washington State hosts San Jose State. Cougs trying to be 4-0.
Yeah, and that probably gets you ranked at that point.
About that.
Yeah, go Cougs.
Victorico's Mexican food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. Let's get into week 4 and college football schedule next on The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Joey Harrington, next seggy, Football Friday. College football, week four, pretty good. Well, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah, I mean,
on paper.
I mean, start off, we got a ranked matchup here, Illinois and Nebraska. I mean, I don't know if these are two, you know, great teams, but two ranked teams and maybe a little bit of a surprise. Nebraska looked good against Colorado. Illinois had the big win over Kansas. And, you know, that's a nice little start. I like when you give me a Friday night football game that's somewhat meaningful.
Yeah, that win over Kansas isn't looking so good.
No, not so much anymore. Although Kansas, I mean, they've been right there. They just can't win close games.
Their offense is garbage.
Yeah.
And I mean garbage. Shall I go off on that?
No, you probably shouldn't.
Okay.
We know.
Well, USC is playing at Michigan. This is fun.
That's the big one.
It's time for the Trojans to announce that they are back.
Well, if you're going to get Michigan, right, we're all down on Michigan. They're making a switch to the orgy party at quarterback, and he can't throw. But Michigan's a proud team. It's still physical. It's a good front. Michigan's not going to go out without a whimper. But if you're USC and you're really back, this is the one to prove it because, you know, we know USC can score points. They've already beaten LSU. But on the road, 100,000 people at the Big House against a team that just wants to play in a phone booth and beat you up. USC comes out and puts the clamps on this and proves that they can be physical with a team like Michigan. Now, all of a sudden, we start taking USC seriously. They're number 11 in the country. They win this. This is a top 10 team. And all of a sudden, USC takes on an entirely different meaning.
Yeah, I was looking at some of the previews on this game, and a couple of folks were pointing out that USC's defense, the metrics aren't quite as good as the numbers say with regards to them stopping the run. And that would be the only way Michigan really even, well, should probably even hang in this game,
yes,
is if they just are able to run the football.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I guess this is the ultimate test because that's what Michigan's going to want to do.
Yep. Well, I mean, they've gone because the Warren kid just, you know, it's a turnover machine. And so they're going to go to Orgy, and he, look, if he's the worst of the two throwing the football, I'm guessing you're going to see about 52 carries out of Michigan here and just try to slow the game down because Miller Moss and the USC offense look really, really sharp.
USC's just going to have to stop it. And if they do, they should have a nice win.
Yeah. And then, you know, I don't care that LSU or what you think LSU or Michigan, if USC goes to 3-0 and you have wins on a neutral field over LSU and on the road at Michigan, I'm sorry. USC should be a top five team in the country. I mean, I understand.
They're not going to be, though.
They won't be. I understand all the preseason stuff, but I mean, on the field, there won't be a pair of wins better than what USC has if they do this.
Well, Tennessee has a big one. They're heading to Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Through three games, the Vols have set the SEC record for point differential.
Yep.
191-13.
They are crushing people.
Oklahoma does not look good. This line, a little low, at least at first glance. It's under a tutty.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure why, because Oklahoma's offense looks terrible. And
they squeaked by Houston. They didn't look great against Tulane. And something tells me that Tennessee is going to come and shove something in your little covered wagon.
Well, was aggressive. The question about Oklahoma, really, and this is much like Michigan, is going to have to run the ball to beat USC. Oklahoma's defense, we'll find out if it's elite, because if it's not, they're going to get run out of the town here.
But if
their defense is elite, which some think it has the chance to be, then it could be a different story.
Sure. And Tennessee, again, we'll find out. They did play North Carolina State. North Carolina State was ranked 24th in the country. It's like, but when you see that early on in the year, is North Carolina State, is it Nebraska, is it Illinois, are they going to be a 4 or 5 loss team? I don't know. But they beat North Carolina State 51-10. And the other two sacrificial lambs that they've played have been nothing. But, Tennessee right now is just, steamrolling people. So I expect them to beat Oklahoma. I expect them to beat them handily. But it'll be nice because from a talent standpoint, Oklahoma should be able to push back against them.
Oklahoma's offense, second to last of all the Power Four teams in offensive grade.
Yeah, it's not good.
Do you know who's last?
Kansas.
You want to take it? No.
Purdue.
No.
Hey, Oregon State with a bounce back against Purdue this week.
They're going to kill them.
UCLA.
Oh, well.
So if you want to get a look at the Ducks' next opponent, they are playing LSU in Baton Rouge, 12:30 on ABC.
Yeah, that may not. 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, you never know, man.
Yeah, I think we set the combined total of that. I think we set that at what? Was it like 75-21, and you took the over? That's going to be 2 weeks in a row of just bloodbath.
They seem like they suck.
Yes.
But I remember a little team named Oregon State heading down to Baton Rouge, and we gave them no chance.
This is not.
And Strawberry Shortcake missed. What did he miss? Like,
I think he missed a couple extra points and a field goal. It might have been 3 kicks.
I thought it was 5 kicks.
Is it 5? I think he missed a bunch.
And they were all within like 30 yards.
Well, I'll tell you what. UCLA isn't going to be within 3 points, so it's not going to matter. UCLA is,
I think we're playing the varsity,
dreadful. And I mean dreadful.
We pointed this out yesterday. Worth noting, Portland State is playing Boise State.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton Gentry is the best running back in the country.
Yeah.
And a first-round NFL draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that ran all over Oregon.
Yeah.
And yet, Dan Lanning said they did a good job on him. Yeah. Seriously, he's that good.
Yeah.
Portland State last week played Weber State. They gave up 318 rush yards.
Oh, well, the whooping cough.
That was 2 weeks
ago. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. So, 7.3 yards per carry. Whoa. And they're coming off whooping cough.
Well, they gave up 70 to WSU.
I know, but I'm talking specifically about the does the quarterback for Boise State even need to play?
Probably not. My guess is Genty's out of the game after the half, and he will have 220 yards. He'll have 3 touchdowns, and they will sit him down. You can't expect Portland State to be stopping anyone when you're battling the whooping
cough. I think you pad those Heisman stats here.
Just crank it up.
Let's go.
Well, Barney can't say anything because they did run it up 91-0 last year on some donkey.
North America University.
North American University. So.
Not to be confused with Antarctica State.
So if they do get it run up on them, they can't say S.
This Dylan Raiola kid, it's really unbelievable. Even just down to his walk and his mannerisms, he is Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, he is cosplaying Patrick Mahomes. He has the same haircut. It's really, really weird.
All the way down to
Yep.
Even just his body type. And
he wears number 15. He's kind of got a belly on him. Dude, he is a stan for Patrick Mahomes.
He claims, which I love, that none of it has anything to do with Patrick Mahomes, which I think is beautiful.
Kiss my grits.
Just keep saying that it's not, even though everyone knows it is.
He kind of runs the same little kind of herky-jerky way. He throws the weird arm angles.
Same warm-up, everything.
His hair's the same.
Yeah.
Pretty soon he's going to have a similar-looking girlfriend.
Britt. But, he's a 19-year-old kid. Let's give him a break. When you were 19, he's not far removed from prom.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looks up to Patrick Mahomes and emulates him. There's a lot of kids that do that.
It's just weird that he tries to do the, what are you talking about?
This is all me.
I'm not even aware of who this Patrick Mahomes is.
I think it's a bit, and I think it's great.
Oh, you think he's doing bits?
That'd be like if I'd like started dressing up like Souk and I grew my beard out like Souk, and they're just like, I've never heard of Jason Sukanik. I wouldn't do anything like him. Get really into jujitsu.
Is BYU a contender in the Big 12? We'll find out. They play Kansas State.
The answer to that question is no, we're not. But
really?
No.
You guys are always pretty good.
We're all right. But we're not, you know. Come on. No.
What do you mean, come on?
We're not.
That league's wide open.
I don't think it's wide open for us. We're fine. We're fine. But we are not a we're not a championship level team. But you know, I'd like to think that we're going to give Kansas State a run here. It's a touchdown game. It's at Lavelle Edwards.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like we didn't necessarily look great against SMU. We kind of eked one out, and SMU was doing this rotating quarterback thing. To be fair, SMU probably should have got us. And then South Illinois and Wyoming, like, I'll be surprised. How about that? I'll be surprised if we beat Kansas State even at home. But if we do, then maybe I'll rethink my stance. But I think BYU is a nice 8-win team, but a Big 12 champion, probably not.
All right. Do the Beavers get right against Purdue?
Boy, if they don't, then we're in some serious trouble.
Because Purdue sucks?
Purdue's really bad.
Purdue has the worst rushing defense and rushing against average defense, and that's all Oregon State wants to do.
Yes. Okay. So we talked about this. Like,
is that at Purdue?
I thought it was at Corvallis.
I think it's in Corvallis.
Is it?
I believe so. Let me double check. Yeah, it's in Corvallis. So Purdue, we talked about this going into the season, and luckily Oregon State won their first two games, because my fear, and this is what I talked about, my fear was if you lose one of those first two games, like if you lose against San Diego State, and then Oregon does to you what we kind of thought Oregon was going to do to them, that the Purdue game might be your entire season, right? It hinges on that. Because if you get drubbed. Luckily, they won their first two, but if you get drubbed like that by Oregon, and then you lose to a team that lost to Notre Dame 66-7, that's troublesome. So I do think that, one, they'll win this game. I don't think Oregon State's that bad. I think just Oregon, they caught Oregon at a bad time. You got to bow your back on this one. This is one, dare I say, I think this is a must-win for Oregon State. To have a year that everyone feels good about, You gotta beat Purdue. And I think they will.
All right. There's a fun little college football preview for you. We're going to get Joey Harrington in here next for his weekly chat. We'll see how at ease he is about Oregon's early problems since the Ducks looked so good last weekend. And our moles place him at the WNBA announcement press conference. Was that really him? And is he an investor? Next. Here's Will. Well, we've moved past story time. It's Football Friday.
Yeah.
With Joey Harrington on 1080 The Fan. Central Catholic great, Oregon great. Joey Harrington.
NFL below average.
Professional soccer team owner and WNBA.
Yeah. What are you laughing at?
Oh,
our moles.
And horses.
Mm-hmm. Our moles.
Let's not put one before the other.
Oh. Mm. Well, our moles place you at the WNBA announcement press conference.
Seems a little conspicuous.
I was there.
Why?
Conspicuous or inconspicuous?
I guess it would be
inconspicuous.
Well, right? I guess it would be.
I actually don't know what conspicuous actually means, but I do know how to use inconspicuous, and so I was just curious.
Conspicuous would be like clearly visible.
Yeah, like he was hiding in
standing
the
out.
You were hiding in the background.
Inconspicuous.
Yes.
I was not inconspicuous at the WNBA announcement.
Well, you kind of were, though.
Inconspicuous? I was sitting right in the middle.
Oh.
I was sitting next to the tallest dude there. I was sitting right next to David Lucas.
I think why we say that is because we were told that you weren't. Like, you're Joey Harrington. You're a big deal. Yeah. Like, you're just right in the middle of, like, the media scrum. Or just people in the that's inconspicuous.
You should have been on the podium.
You should have been up there. Yes.
Yeah, you're an owner.
You're like, yes.
Why?
Because you own part of the team.
I was invited as an owner of the Thorns. Mm. I was invited to the announcement by the ownership group, but I am not an owner of the WNBA franchise.
Okay. Again, I feel like he's choosing his words carefully. Will you be an owner of the WNBA franchise?
That and that is not a conversation on, and I'm speaking I was going to somehow use conspicuous or inconspicuous. I'm speaking truthfully. That is honestly not a conversation that has even been had. So I can't give you a...
It will be had. I feel fairly confident.
I don't know. Yeah. I genuinely don't know. I don't know if they're going to approach the Thorns ownership group in the same way that, you know, it was put together, you know, previously. Or I don't know if they're going to put the WNBA team together the same way that they put the Thorns ownership group together. So I don't know.
Do you, you being a Thorns investor, I don't know how much you know about that family. I the family that brought the WNBA here is the same family that owns the
correct
the Thorns. And I just don't think a lot of our listeners know much about them. Do you have any insight as to what they're like or who they are?
A little bit. You know, it's interesting. It's one of those kind of 6 degrees of separation or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon where Alex, so it's the Bethal family. Mm-hmm. The ownership group is Raj Sports. Alex and Lisa are the kids. I mean, I say kids, they're early 50s. And are the heads of the organization. Alex Bethal is actually good friends with my agent Dave Dunn. So there was one of those. They're based out of Newport Beach. Their business was initially swimwear. They have gotten into the sports and real estate world. I don't think it was their first venture, but they are partial owners of the Sacramento Kings. And so that was kind of how they transitioned from the Kings, or how they got their foot in the door with the Thorns, and then it transferred to WNBA. So, yeah, I mean, it's what I can say about them is they've been fantastic. I mean, our entire group that wanted to become a part of this was pitched to them as, look, you need some sort of local presence.
Yeah.
Right? The Timbers and the Thorns especially. I mean, you want to talk about local and rabid and a fan base that isn't just going to sit there and say, yeah, sure, we'll be run by a hedge fund out of New York. Like, that's not the Thorns fan base, right? The Thorns fan base is community. It's local. It's Portland. It's invested, and it's base heat right here. And so we pitched that to them, and they were all ears. They listened. They weren't high and mighty. They weren't pretentious and saying, well, we know best because we've been working with the Sacramento Kings. No, they were receptive to the ideas that we brought them and continue to be that way. You know, like we've talked about, you know, I'm a, you know, 0.00000001 owner, but I can still make a phone call and feel like my opinion is at least going to be listened to, right? They may not act on it.
Yeah, bench
say,
that
hey,
goaltender.
Know, what's that?
Bench that goaltender. Make a call.
Yeah, there you go. You know, that has been my experience with the Bethal family, and I don't see any reason why that wouldn't continue, and they wouldn't continue to be great stewards of women's professional sports in our city.
I just love the fact that you have a billionaire family who has put 2 feet firmly in the ground in Portland and invested a couple hundred million bucks or building new facilities.
Right.
And for the first, I mentioned this when we got the WNBA, whether you're a fan of women's sports, whether you're a fan of the WNBA or not, when's the last time that a really, really rich company decided that they wanted to come to Portland to invest here? And to me, that is a win for the city. I couldn't be more fired up that someone from the outside's like, no, we believe in this and we believe in this city and we can grow it here. I don't know how, if you're from this area, that you can't be 100% in on this.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're not 100% in on it, here's the kicker for me. I would not necessarily be as gung-ho like you are for any billionaire to come in and say, I'm going to invest in Portland, because there's such an opportunity here. There's plenty of opportunity for a billionaire to come in and say, I'm going to invest, and then I'm going to get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah,
right? I'm going to invest. I'm going to do what's right for me. I'm going to cash out, and then I'm going to sit on the beach in wherever in the Bahamas. That's not what's going on here, right? And that was initially why I got involved, is because I wanted to make sure that Portland stayed Portland, right? That Portland was represented, that Portland's interests were at the table. But you know what? Like, I don't need to worry about that, because this family and the people in the organization, the people that I have met, have done nothing but confirm that is also their intention as well. And that's, so there's your convincing, right? You've got your billionaire family ownership group coming in that not only wants to do well by the team, but wants to do well by the city and the community.
Well, that's good. Early returns are good, because, we're all a little wary of the super rich.
Yeah.
But, I think that's great.
How I'm curious about what their driveway would look like.
Oh,
I guess that's a very, my theory, the wealthier you are, the worse your driveway is. It's a nightmare.
No, what are you talking about? No. We literally had this argument like 6 months ago.
No.
And your position was the complete opposite.
No, he's saying
the wealthier you get, that you then get like the half circle driveways and you get like.
No, he misspoke. He said the worse it gets. He means the more difficult it is to navigate.
Yes, the rich have a driveway that's a mile long. There's 17 turns involved in it. You have to navigate hedges.
Yeah.
Like most people, it's just, here's my driveway, I pull into it. When you're wealthy, going into your driveway, there's a gate involved. There's a lot. There's a lot that happens. The richer you are, the more difficult it is to navigate your driveway.
Now, I have a question about that. Do they live? I mean, you mentioned several.
Yeah, they're in Sacramento, I think, right?
But do any of them
Newport.
Live here?
Newport.
You said Newport,
California.
So they all live down that way.
That was the connection. My agent was based out of Newport Beach, and it was one of those. I met Alex and Lisa for the first time, and we were just playing the world connection game. And it's like, oh my God, you're friends with Dave Dunn? He's like, and Alex is like, yeah, I had dinner with him last week. And and Dave was such an incredible, a wonderful guy. Justin Herbert's agent as well, and just a great influence and mentor for me. It was one of those crazy world connections.
Small world. Joey Harrington here, courtesy of Mods PDX. The future of building is here. When we come back, we'll ask Joey. He probably watched the Civil War in between kids' soccer games.
Wait, we're already at the break?
Yeah. Yep. We are.
Man, that was fast.
Sorry.
We had hot WNBA Thorns talk.
We had to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Dang.
We will ask Joey, is he at ease now about Oregon's early problems? Next on The Fan.
Story time with Joey on 1080 The Fan.
Back with Joey here. Now, I thought of another question during the break before we get to Duck Stiff, but this could be a dud, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I'm curious your opinion, because a lot of us don't have a conduit into this world, and you may. So we were talking about the Bethal family.
Mm-hmm.
Is that their name?
Mm-hmm.
Bethal.
Yes.
And they are the owners of the Thorns and now bringing WNBA here. This area has just not, it's just not known for big business. We know that. There's a lot of money here, but it's not the most entrepreneurial money. You know what I'm saying? Like, the wealthy don't really invest in sports. I know Phil Knight has tried and may continue to try, but general question, what is your assessment of that world here in Portland and in the surrounding area about the entrepreneurial sort of big idea, big investment world in this area?
Wow, that's a dud.
That is
it?
Yeah, just real quick. You're like, let me drop this on you.
Is it a dud?
It's not a dud, but that's a big. Okay, so I'm going to ask a question back before we get into this. Do you intend to talk any Duck football?
Yes.
Okay, then we should probably save that for another time.
Well, I don't want to save it for another time.
Well, I don't want to. I don't want to go to bed.
So it's a big conversation. Okay. Well,
I think it's a big conversation.
Yeah.
That's
good.
That's
what I want to do, because I think that would be really good conversation. I think we should do it. I mean, it is a bye week.
For sure. I think that would be a good conversation to have. But you know what's really interesting too is I make a really concerted effort to stay out of that world.
Do you?
Right? And so I think a lot of my opinions around that would be based on my personal hesitance to truly jump in with both feet.
Yeah.
Right? Even my venture into the Thorns ownership world was done with the intent, or with the foundation of, I'm going to make sure that this new ownership group does right by the people in the North End, right? By the fans behind the net, not necessarily the people that can afford to buy the stadium. You see what I mean? It's, and I completely understand. I do, based on, working with the foundation and, being in the NFL, and I have a key into that world. But a lot of the times I don't like that world.
Yeah.
Right. And so I don't know, this conversation may go in a way that takes up a couple commercial breaks,
okay,
which we don't have if we want to talk Duck football.
Damn you, Joey. You're so deep.
Good in being thoughtful.
Well, I want to – we'll circle back on it. You are definitely an interesting guy to ask that, because you are more one of us than them at the same time. You do have, like you said, you have tentacles in that world. And
he's like a hybrid.
Yeah.
You are – yeah, it's just an interesting thing that
I've
never –
you call me a Prius?
Well, you can go with a daywalker if you want. With that, you can be one of those.
Yeah.
An Ioniq 5.
Hey, suppose those are good rigs.
It's just, I'm putting in my notes. We're going to do it eventually. Maybe.
All right,
maybe
good. I'm on board.
Yeah, because I'm curious your thoughts. It's just a hard world to get any info on,
Yeah.
And you have a little info, it sounds like. All right, so what do you feel? Oregon, they look great against Oregon State. Are you more at ease? How at ease are you about the early problems that we discussed last week?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should talk about, investment in sports.
What an ass.
How do I feel? I feel good. I was never one to jump off a bridge after 1 or even 2 weeks. I think here's the thing that I liked. I guess let me start and say, kind of the obvious. Oregon State rushed 3 a good majority of that time, right? There was a definite imbalance of talent.
Yes.
And as Suk will tell you, where does that? Let me ask this. Give me the two position areas that imbalance of talent most shows up.
Well, I mean, if you want to just say line play is always where it shows up. So if you want to say the two biggest areas, it's offense and defensive line.
Then number two, what's number two?
Two for me is secondary guys. When you
Exactly. Yep. And that's it. It's the big guys who are athletic, and it's the little guys who are athletic. Yeah. Right? And that's the big schools get those guys and the little schools do not. And Oregon State has become a mid-major. Not for any reason, any fault of their own, but because they got left behind with the Mountain West. Half their team transferred out, and now they are, talent-wise, a mid-major. And that played out up front. And they went about it trying to beat Oregon a certain way. That, and it didn't work. So, there was a talent deficiency that led to it. However, what I liked to see is they changed the launch point, right? So this is what we did all the time. Like, my starting center in the Fiesta Bowl was a 280-pound redshirt freshman walk-on.
Yikes.
Right? You know, I can't tell you how many – my starting center as a junior for part of the year was a 265-pound walk-on. Like, we would have a guy or two on the offensive line, and then Neil Zimbukas would literally just play – offensive line magic and put together this group that just played incredible. But the way that we helped our O-line is we'd change the launch point. We'd take a three-step drop. We'd play action hard one way. We'd boot out the other way. You know, we would do a, you know, we'd run a an ISO play action and set up behind the right guard. We would full sprint left. We would half sprint right. And you saw Dylan Gabriel sometimes, because of design, and sometimes because he broke contain and extended the play, you saw him in different launch points. You know, what did we see those first couple weeks? We saw guys coming clean off. At Boise State, I can think of one, two, three times, right, just right now, where they had a free rusher coming off the edge and him standing in the pocket.
And they should not have been.
Exactly, exactly. So if you're going to have, if you've identified, right, we talked about last week, like, how do you do it? You know, is it offensive line or is it center making the line calls? Is it quarter making the protection adjustments? We don't know. However, you got to get it figured out. One of the ways to alleviate some of the pressure is to change what the quarterback's going to be. Yep. If they don't know where he's going to be, how are you going to dial up a pressure for it? Right. And that was what I really liked to see, is whether it was designed by Will Stein or whether it was, you know, Dylan just getting out of the pocket and making something, he changed his launch point, which put Oregon State on its heels, which then allowed that talent to just win, right? So am I convinced that everything is fixed? No. But I also wasn't convinced that the world was, you know, the sky was falling 2 weeks ago. So are they they're on the right track. They're doing the things. They've got a couple, you know, they've got a couple more weeks to get things right before it really hits the fan against Ohio State. And you better have it figured out by then. But that's, what, 3 weeks away?
Yeah. Yeah, you got UCLA and Michigan State. No offense to either one of those. UCLA is one of the worst teams in the country. Michigan State just doesn't have the horses. So this should be this is like the perfect ramp up we were talking about. We just kind of, they took a 2 week hiatus at the beginning of the season. But that's when we looked at this and said, boy, this is a perfect ramp up before you get Ohio State at home.
Yeah, it was get healthy, you know, identify your problems, get healthy, fix your problems. Yeah. And they're on that path.
Yeah, they had 32 total rushes in the Civil War. When you look at the advanced analytics, they had five run plays that were deemed unsuccessful. I mean, when you do that you want to, again, the recipe for protecting your quarterback and getting everything going like that, do that over the course of an entire game. And that includes the backups, by the way, when the game was out of hand. You run the ball like that, and this is what the NFL's doing. When you look at teams that are having success right now, when you run the ball, there's no bigger friend to a quarterback than just running the football and being successful with it.
And you know what's really interesting, and I'm not sure if we talked about this, if we talked about it or if we talked about it on Talking Ducks on Thursdays on Root Sports. You like that?
What time?
Dang it.
Rat farts.
Come on, man.
Dang it, rat farts! How about on our YouTube channel, Talking Ducks? There you go. A lot of times, you know, everybody says run the ball to set up the pass. Run the ball to set up the pass. This may not be that type of team. What I saw was a quarterback who changed his launch point, who therefore was able to either have the time to get the ball down the field or extend the play and get the ball to three. I mean, they have three legitimate wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, a defense isn't just going to have to cover Tez Johnson. Like, they have three legit wideouts. that at any moment could bust a game open. So if you can protect Dillon and get the ball to those guys, and what I loved is they were working mid-range routes. It wasn't quick screens and fades all day. It was 12-yard curls. It was a 15-yard dig. It was a seam route, you know, down the hash. Like, and what does that do? It puts the defense on. It just gets them sitting back a little bit, so you can do what? So you can run the football. Right, it doesn't have to be one way or the other. It doesn't have to be run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Therefore, you can throw. Some teams are built, and you got. Sometimes you got to figure this out as it goes. Some teams are built to throw the ball. Therefore, you can run, and maybe that's what this Oregon team becomes.
Yeah, building an identity.
Well, and stop shuffling the old line. They, you know, I'm saying when you don't have to shuffle that anymore. This, and we'll see what happens. You know, there's some guys that are going to come off injury here. But that combination, again, left guard to right guard, new left guard, Poncho back to center. That was the one that kind of started clicking at Boise State, and they went with that. You know, for the entire game against Oregon State when the starters ran, and that should be the line going forward, unless. Obviously, Bedford coming back, and you know, if he wins that job. But I think that's solidified in there, too. And then guys should get more comfortable around each other, and you start to gel a little bit. So, you know, fingers crossed for a Duck fan that, you know, is a problem of the past, or that it keeps getting better.
Yeah, you get guys back from injury. You take a week off. You have a couple weeks, you know, against UCLA, Michigan State. And then all of a sudden, guys in the community just start investing, you know, in entrepreneurial sports venture. Oh, sorry. Sorry, well, that was the other. That was the other topic that we weren't talking about.
Well, like any good radio host, you brought it back full circle. That's what the greats do.
That's why he's on Talking Ducks on.
That's right.
On CW. That's right. And YouTube. But we don't know when. It's
whenever it is.
Yeah,
whenever.
I don't know either. I record it on Mondays. I don't know when it goes out.
All right. Have a great great little weekend.
It will be a good little weekend. You too. Did you play golf?
Yes. Langdon Farms Club Championship, Joey.
Oh, boy.
Watch out. Thanks for the invite.
Well, it's the club championship. Are you a farm card holder?
Details.
He's a man of the people. He's a Rose City man.
Almost got him out last week for golf. Bye. Bye, Jim.
Yeah, but you didn't have a spot. No, fake invite.
I didn't. Have a great one. Love your body. That's Joey Harrington. Last weekend we were almost playing golf. Until
you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, now club championship. Well, now I'm going to need a detailed report on Monday.
Oh, yeah, I'll get it to you. All right, all right. Yeah, the big club championship.
You feeling good going in?
I mean, you know, it's golf.
Yeah.
It could be terrible. It could be good.
Anything can happen,
that's,
right?
That's right. That's right. I could get too drunk and then play great or play terrible. I don't know.
Finding that sweet spot between having that nice buzz and then going off the rails, it's tough.
Primetime follow-up, who is the seventh best Portland Trailblazer?
I've got it. So I looked at about three different lists.
Okay.
And this is basically, it's almost a universal. This is who you have to choose from. You've got Sabas.
Okay.
B. Roy, mm-hmm. Rasheed Wallace, mm-hmm. Scottie Pippen.
Okay, this is getting long.
Cliff Robinson. And I looked at all those lists, and that is basically from six to eight on every list.
Who are the top six?
The top six is almost universal. It's Lillard. Clyde and Lillard, one and two, depending on who you look at.
Okay.
And then you go on Bill Walton.
Yeah.
And then LaMarcus is almost always in the top five. Yep. And then Porter is usually the guy that rounds out. There's your top five.
Who's six?
Again, it just depends on
So any one of those.
Any one of those guys.
You didn't mention Kersey.
No, I did not see him on any of those lists.
Well, what's your list? I don't want other lists.
The seventh best
Come on.
Portland Trailblazer of all time. The seventh best.
Is?
Zach Randolph. Zebo does not get any credit.
Okay.
Zach Randolph was a 2010 machine here, made an all-star team, and we hate him because, you know, there's some other stuff going on. But he, like, Scottie Pippen, dude, he was only here for a handful of years. No offense to Cliff Robinson. Zach Randolph was a better player than him. He is the seventh best Blazer, in my opinion.
So to bring this full circle, we were talking about Josh Harris, the Sixers owner, saying that Joel Embiid is one of the greatest Sixers of all time.
Yes.
As he got a big contract extension today. And then we determined that Joel Embiid is probably the seventh greatest Sixer of all time. And so does that make them one of the all-time greats? Is Zach Randolph one of the all-time Blazer greats? I don't know that he is.
Okay, what if I said Rasheed Wallace? Would that feel better?
I feel like the one of the all-time greats is the top five.
Hmm. Well, then no.
Yeah, right now, I think that's the answer.
Embiid is not an all-time Sixer great.
I think that's the answer. Look at us squeezing in content. That's called squeezing in content,
Will.
It
is squeezing it in.
I'm writing it down in my notebook.
You taking notes?
Notes from Ropin Souk. Barometer can also mean paper. Rochambeau means rock, paper, scissors. Mm-hmm. And squeeze in content when your producer asks you to break lots.
Yeah, we have to. Break lots, okay.
Oh, we got time.
Yeah, we do. We'll get caught up. We always do. Club 1080 is next on The Fan.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.